Well, in our last class, we were looking at we were in chapter 3, and we noticed there that they had some characteristics that it was talking about. Colossians. So we see here that it gave some specific characteristics, but we also looked at the idea that it's not limited to the characteristics that were given. We saw the idea of this way of the old walk, or the way that we used to walk, and in contrast, the way now that one should walk. And it gives in these verses different characteristics of the way that those once walked and the way that are characteristics that we should now put on. And we also looked in 1 Corinthians just to get an idea. We saw other things that were mentioned of how we shouldn't walk. You know, it said that these that practice these things would not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see these different characteristics that are used. So we know that, especially when we're looking at these verses and it refers to these things and it's talking specifically to some of these characteristics, we know that these things that it's talking about is referring to things that are sin. And we also know when it was saying that we got to put away these things and put on these other things, it's a part of our life. That's going to be part of our life that we've chosen. Because if we're going to follow Christ, these things can't be a part of our life. And then we see characteristics that we need to put on. Now, verse 5 reminded us of that relationship, or our relationship to God, and it calls for a certain lifestyle. It says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Now, when we were in our last class, we talked about this. We recognize that these things here are basically, it was referring to sexual immorality and building upon that thought. But also in other verses you see other things, and it kind of groups on specific ideas. But again, these are things that shouldn't be part of our life. And one place that we looked at, and I know I kind of ran through it on Wednesday because I kind of went through the chapter pretty fast. But let's go back over to Romans for a second. Romans 6. So we looked at this idea in Romans 6. In verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Are we not to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So we see the idea that, you know, living in sin should not be a part of our life. Now, we did look at in our last class that becoming a Christian in no means says that we are perfect. Now, we should be striving for these things, but that doesn't mean that we can't sin, because we know that we do sin. But it has to do with the life that we're living and striving to live. These aren't our normal characteristics. These things that we are to put away, they can't be part of our normal life anymore. Verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? So it makes this comparison. When we were baptized, it's compared to Christ's death. Therefore, verse 4, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So we see there's a different life. Once we're raised from the waters, it's a different life that we have to put on. Okay, because the very reason why we are baptized is because we trust and believe in what God has said. And that is how we access this, and that calls for a different way of life, just like we've looked at before in Acts 2:38. You know, when they say, well, what must we do? You know, and then it talks about, well, if you believe, be baptized. And then verse 40, we see that it doesn't end there. It's not just baptism itself. It said that they were continuing in the apostles' teaching. So it has to do with a continuous way of life. Reason why I say that is I know everyone in here is familiar with ideas such as once saved, always saved. Things to that extent where people might think that because don't get me wrong, baptism, it's essential. But it doesn't end there. You know, it's not to say that, okay, I did that and now I can do whatever I want to do. No, the very reason we did that is because we trust and believe in what God said. So that means, now we might not have known a whole lot about what all that encompassed at that time, but that's why it's up to us to continue in our study, some of the things we've looked at, so that we can grow and then make application in our life and to serve God. Because as we grow in this, it's going to help us to serve individually and to do our duty as far as helping others. You know, we might be more capable in helping others to grow. Any comments or thoughts before I go? Okay.
I was thinking,
yes, sir.
On the physical, actual occurrence, what occurred, what happened, Jesus Christ physically actually died, buried, and actually raised, and we are supposed to remember that, and it should help us to be able to remember what we're doing, what we should be doing in our spiritual person. You know, we should be spiritually understanding that we're dead, buried, raised again spiritually, and so that should help us as we live our day by day. You know, like it says over here in our context over here in 3:2, set your mind on the things above. You know, Colossians 3:2,
okay.
Set your mind on the things above. And so that would help us on down in 5, you know, to keep away from these other things of purity and evil desire and all. Because when we obey, it's not, we're supposed to be a new person when we're raised by, but we still have to overcome a lot of things in our lives, and that doesn't mean we're going to be totally perfect in whatever
right.
kind of sin, you know.
Right.
And so we need to set our mind on where it should be and be able to, you know, that help us to be able to overcome these problems we're going to be having.
Well, that's a good point, because this very book, doesn't it teach that? I mean, this is written to Christians. This is telling Christians, you know, these things. It's explaining that, you know, and plus what we've looked at, because of some of the outside teachings and the dangers of that. But that's the very things that we see, that these books were, written to Christians, and it's warning them, it's teaching them. So for us, we recognize that, yes, this is something that could be something we run into. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, this the commitment has to be there, right? When you want to be baptized, let's say that you fear, you know, you fear hell, so you want to be baptized,
okay.
But unless you have that commitment to go with that, or are you just sort of getting wet, or are you You know, I mean, I'm just asking because I know a lot of young people struggle with that when they're, so it's...
Well, I think you made a good point, because there is a sense that we could, where all we're doing is just getting wet. If we haven't truly decided to, like you say, commit ourselves. Because it's more than just saying, I believe in that sense, because it needs to be a belief that causes action. And baptism itself is not the only action it should cause. I mean, it should cause, of course it starts there, but it should cause a new life. I mean, that's some of the very things we've been seeing in this, especially in Ephesians, when, I mean, over and over it's talked about what Christ has done for us. And then in chapter 4, where it builds on that and says, therefore walk, and gives all these things of how we should live. I mean, this should cause something for us. When we consider that Christ, deity, came to this earth and died for us once for all, for the sin of all. And of course we understand that means those that, I mean, he died for everyone, but it's for those that partake in that. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, here in Colossians, in the text, 3-4, when Christ, sometimes, you know, we go to the second part of it, but we forget who is our life, and that's what we're talking about. Christ is our life, you know. If we've been raised with Him, we live with Him. Now, talking about heaven, that's later glory.
Right.
But now, He is our life, so it's living for Jesus. We sing that song.
Mm-hmm.
And Colossians 3:5, it talks about this moral sin and sexual immorality. And over in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, it talks about being one spirit with Christ, after it talks about one put your body with a harlot and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it talks about the sins against our own body. And so these sins, this sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 6:18 also says that it's a sin against our own body. Then down here in later in Colossians 3, we find about this anger and this wrath and malice and slander. That's not against our own body. That's against our brother. And so you have this twofold living for Jesus, yourself, and then how you treat others.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's Paul in his letters, you know, puts this together, is it's a twofold living for Jesus in your own self, and what you do for yourself, and how you conduct yourself, and what you think and say, but how you treat others.
Any other thoughts or comments? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, sometimes like what Bobby was touching on, you know, when a young person baptized, they go right back in the same atmosphere that they don't have a choice about school and things. You know, your attention's good, but I mean, it's not like turning on a light switch. I think it's hard for some people to just start living for Christ. I mean, you know, you, like Bobby said, I think. Even myself, I was a senior in high school, and I knew the circumstances I was going to be around and things. But I did fear hell. I might be one of the purposes of I want to be baptized, because I knew there was a heaven and hell, and I want to go to heaven. But I don't know that my life just turned on a dime, you know, but I gradually grew into the appreciation and love for Christ as I got older and more mature.
Okay. Well, I think it indeed, because, well, the growth part of it, that, I mean, it has to happen. I mean, we've got to, because that's...
But I feel like I was in a relationship that even though I did sin, I could go to my father and talk to him about it and help me get stronger.
Okay.
But,
What we need to keep in mind in that, though, is I think it reflects back to our attitude again. Now, I don't know the whole circumstance, but as you're as we see that we have sin in our life, I think it teaches that, you know, we have to be striving to put that away. You know, are we going to be perfect at it? Are we going to stumble as we do it? You know, we might stumble at it as we do it. But I think that it really has to do towards our attitude towards doing it. If we just say, hey, okay, I fear hell, and I'm going to go get baptized, but then I'm not willing to change anything in my life, maybe we don't fear it as much as we think we do, because it should cause us to realize that there's changes that need to be made. I mean, because that's what the Word teaches us. It expects us to make change in our life. But again, not that we're going to be perfect at it by any means. It has to do with our attitude or striving. Think of a worker. If you have a good employee, when you label someone that as, this is my best guy, that doesn't mean they're perfect in the job that they do. But it's because of their attitude of the way that they work. Okay? They put certain things in place that helps guide them to do their job. They work it in a certain manner, and they have the mindset or the heart that drives them that they want to do good at these things. Are they going to be perfect in it? No. But they're going to strive to be. And I think that's the way that we're supposed to be. We're to be like Jesus. Can we be perfect? No. But we strive to be. We strive to put on the things that we're taught. We strive to make that part of our characteristic. We build it into our life. Because we see examples when Steve teaches, if he's teaching something on David, you'll notice sometimes he'll say, well, this time was out of characteristic. Because that doesn't mean David couldn't do anything wrong. He did. But that wasn't part of his normal characteristic. There's characteristics that we have to put on, and we have to strive to do those things. Yes, sir, you had a comment. Good point.
I noticed at one point, maybe, and, you know, I don't know what to tell, but I may have been the driving moment.
And that's okay.
I believe in Christ, and I believe in resurrection, I believe in these things. But, you know, my motivating factor at that point may have been here. But then to grow beyond that, to want to serve and want to be Christian and want to do good and things like this, the good works that we've talked about, and putting away these bad things. Now, as you grow, that should take place.
Right, because if you have the attitude that it calls for, if we are striving to grow and study, then you're going to come across things where you say, oh, well, I do this. So what are you going to do about it? You know, that's when you put those things away.
We're talking about the knowledge, the mystery, these things about the gospel and what that we're supposed to attain to, and put away these things and put on these things. And it's all pulled together as you grow, just like a child. As a child grows, the motivations at one point may have been candy. You know, that grows to something else later.
That's a good point, though, yeah.
You know, the perspective of a child, you know, important things are not, you know, well, important things are for a teenager, actually, you know, adult or
something. You have a comment, Rocky?
Yes, sir. Greg, I was going to comment on what Bobby was mentioning about the baptizing young people. That maybe is the commitment there. And maybe when we teach the young people about baptism, maybe we're overemphasizing baptism too much, not realizing that there's two other steps that are kind of important there. One, before we get baptized, we've got to confess Jesus as Lord. What does that mean? Well, there's the will, right? He has to take priority. There's the commitment. And then you repent, you know, got to change your way. I mean, you can't keep doing what you were doing. It's a new life. Then you're baptized. So maybe we're not emphasizing the commitment there, because there are two other steps that are kind of vital there. Then once they do become Christians, now like back here to Colossians, we're revisiting the commitment. You know, we're supposed to set our mind on things above. You know, for young people, for us today that are more experienced, older Christians. And so the commitment's got to be there at the very beginning and continue.
Good point.
And that's why the main focus of the New Testament is preach the word. Jesus taught. The apostles went out and taught. And Paul even told Timothy, preach the word. Or be diligent, you know, to make yourself approved, handling the right, the word of truth. And so the thing is that we all need to grow. But we just studied in Ephesians chapter 4. What the Lord gave to give His people ability to grow.
Right.
And so it's the Word, and it's the Christians that are knowledgeable and mature in the Word to help us grow and to take advantage of that. And so, you know, that's the best thing we can do for our children or for those that we have influence over is to get them in the book. You know,
okay.
Let them read themselves and try to come to an understanding of what their life commitment to Christ is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This supports what you said right here in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ, which dwells in you, always be teaching and admonishing one another.
Okay. Yeah. Any other good comments? Any other thoughts or comments? Or okay. I'm just going to, back here in Romans 6, just look at a couple more things just real quick. Okay, I think we read 4. Verse 5, for if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. And then if you jump down to verse 11, it says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So when we were looking at some of these verses in Colossians, I think we left off around verse 9 and 10 of Colossians 3. When we think about this life, since you laid aside the old self and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So we see the idea of being renewed to a true knowledge, and being renewed because of a true knowledge. I put a question on the sheet. Can anyone obtain this renewal? It's not a trick question.
Perfectly.
Well, this, well, the idea I had was that yes, this is for anyone who chooses. Okay, this has been provided for those that choose. So God provides it for all. Verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. In verse 12, it says, so as those who have been chosen of God, and I put a kind of similar thought here. I asked the question, has God chosen us? And what does this mean? What does it mean? Okay, so yes, He has chosen us. But what does that mean?
Yeah, but He's willing to give His life for us and chose us in that way.
Okay, so He's provided a way. Exactly. Salvation for anyone that is willing, like we just looked at in verse 11. So this is for, through Christ, anyone can have salvation. But unfortunately, not everyone's going to obtain it. So we see it as for those who choose to put on Christ and to follow Christ.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
There's another in, when we just finished Ephesians, Ephesians 1:4, kind of a very similar thing. It says, just as He chose us, but it says, in Him. I always like to look, when we see this where it says He chose us, and He chose the plan, not the individual man. And that here in Ephesians 1:4, He chose us in Him to have this relationship. But, you know, we have to, like you say, we have to choose it. It's not a Calvinistic predestination
right.
Thing which people would use.
Right.
But, you know, if you read that verse and just isolate it, maybe you kind of get that thought. But then it's contrary to everything that we've been studying and all the points we make about being baptized and having all our sins washed away. And so it's a good question.
Right.
We need to be careful with how to answer it. People use it against us.
That was a good what he said, choose the plan, not the man. I think that was very good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In fact, we see people that were falling away. They were going back into Judaism that had been Christians, that had been baptized. So people still were falling away.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, if we want to follow God, then we have to obtain it in the manner that He set up. This is His plan on how to obtain salvation, and this is the way that He has chosen. So, when it says God chose us, He's provided us a way to be in Him, and like Rocky said, in connection with Christ. It's through Christ's blood. So yes, we're chosen of God. And I had a point on here, it's the very thing that Rocky was putting. It doesn't mean that He chose beforehand who will be saved and you don't have anything to do with it. That's not what it's talking about. And He doesn't say that we are all saved. Just meaning all people in general. If this was true, there would be no reason to start this chapter in the way that it did. If you have been raised up, is how the chapter started off. So if you have been raised up with Christ. And also, verse 6. Verse 6 said that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. So we see that not all will choose to be saved. Any thoughts or comments? Yes, sir.
What was really neat was the fact that for such a long time the Gentiles were looked down as dogs by the Jews and all, but now they were given this opportunity through Christ dying on a cross and all to be part of the saved.
Okay.
And have a hope but he didn't have it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a good blessing. What should those that are chosen of God do? We see here that they are to put on. And what characteristics that are listed in verses 12 through 15 are they to put on?
Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience.
Okay.
Bearing one another for you, consider.
Love. Okay, put on love. Okay, so it said those that are chosen of God or holy and beloved are to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Your footnotes might say forbearance towards others on this idea of patience. Yes, ma'am. Thankfulness. So, verse 13, we see bearing one another, or bearing with one another, and forgiving each other who has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So we see an idea of again, attitude, but in this sense, the attitude of forgiveness. Verse 14, put on love. It goes on to say that love is perfect, or is the perfect bond of unity. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Let that remind us of our common bond and what it should cause it, or cause in us. And just like we saw in Ephesians, again, we see this idea of unity and one body. Any comments? No? Okay. What is to richly dwell in us? Somebody already made a comment.
Yeah, but it's not just knowing the Word and, you know, you can remember it for a verse. It's letting that you read and learn and know guide your life so that you live.
Yeah, it's not enough.
It's
you have to have the knowledge, but it's to put it in to practice.
Definitely
what? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's a good point. Dennis' point. You just go back to verse 15. Verse 16 had the word Christ. Verse 15 had basically the same thing: the peace of Christ. You know, that's the gospel. We're supposed to. It's supposed to rule in our heart. So there's that point that Dennis is trying to mention. You know, it's just not the knowledge. It's kind of
So it's got a rule in our heart.
Richly points to the fact that it is precious and that it is increasing value, you know, that it is richly, it is abundantly, you know, dwelling in us. Not just a smattering here and there,
okay,
now and then, or coming to Bible study here and there,
right,
or, you know, going to church on Sunday morning or something like that, you know, and just having a little Bible teaching there, but it is too richly. It is
like a driving factor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good point. So, in verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So, this should cause us to want to sing. We have something to sing about. There's reason to sing because of this unity and being one body. We should, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and the spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. We should want to do these things and be a strength to one another. Any comments or thoughts? No? Okay. Verse 17 says, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So whatever you do in word and deed, what does that mean?
By the authority of.
Okay, by the authority of. What about, what would it encompass as far as our actions? So in word, our speech, okay, our actions and deed might consider not just things that come out of our mouth, but indeed it would cover that, but so we see the way we speak, the way we act, the things that we do. So whatever you do, whether it be what you say or in your actions, do so with remembrance of what the Lord Jesus has provided. And give God the Father thanks, both for Christ and through Christ. Yes, sir.
Repeat of what Jesus said himself in the Gospels. He said, wherever you do a word or deed, do all in my name.
Okay. And what's that mean, do in my name?
By his authority.
Okay. Okay.
According to what he had taught them.
Okay, according to the teachings or in connection with Christ. We say that a lot, that in connection. So having to do with what has been done.
This is for individuals, and also keep in mind this is to individual Christians.
Okay.
A lot of people take this verse and then try to use it as the church, everything you do, but it has to be done through the church. That's going to come up with a lot of different things, because everything's got to be done through the church.
Okay.
That's
not what it's talking
about. That's right. This is expressing Christians and the actions of individual Christians, just like we've been talking all along about dwelling in you.
Right.
And dwelling in what the word dwells in, actually, dwelling in ritually, that's individual and not the church.
Yeah, because it says what you do.
Yeah.
What you do.
Some people take this and try to make it the church.
Okay, okay. So we see here, good point, what Gary was saying, it's not talking about the church, it's talking individually. So we see that in verse 17, it says, whatever you do.
And it's giving thanks too. I'm just reminded, I went back to Deuteronomy 28, in verse 47, the Lord is giving a consequence to Israel. And it says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart, for the abundance of all things, you shall serve your enemies. And so, you know, we can do all the right things and say all the right things and live our lives, you know, according to God's word. But if it's not with joy and thanksgiving in our heart, God looks with disparity in that.
So again, we see this where our attitude is a key to these things we've been looking at. Our attitude towards God, towards wanting to serve Him, towards recognizing the knowledge that's been given to us and growing in it. We have to make change. We have to live a certain way. Therefore, what we've looked at, characteristics, the way we live our life. We have to try to put on certain characteristics. There's a certain way of life that we're to live. The only way we're going to truly understand what that is, like we've looked at, is study. So as we grow in understanding these characteristics that we are not to have, and the ones that we are to have, we'll grow and we'll be living according to God.
Paul was a great example.
Okay.
Of that. Although he went through, he's still happy and thankful to sing songs in prison an hour ago.
Verse 17 also looks forward to the rest of it. How do I do that?
Well, thank you all.